Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So this letter gives us a glimpse into the elements of an awakening experience. Before we have below we have Screwtape's description counterpointed by those of the great sages. There is recognition that we never walk alone, even if we don't recognize the guides, Screwtape. But when he saw them, he knew that he had always known them. The dim consciousness of friends about him, which had haunted his solitude from infancy, was now at last explained. That central music in every pure experience, which had always just evaded memory, was now at last discovered, and now at last recovered. St. Francis de Sales. Make friends with the angels, who, though invisible, are always with you. Often invoke them, constantly praise them, and make good use of their help and assistance in all your temporal and spiritual affairs. There is also the understanding that awareness is unaffected by the world of appearances, the temporal experiences of sentience. Screwtape. He is caught up in that world where pain and pleasure take on transfinite values and all our arithmetic is dismayed. Nisargadatta Maharaj. As long as there is consciousness, there must be pleasure and pain. Pain and pleasure are the crests and valleys of the waves in the ocean of bliss. Deep down, there is utter fullness. There is a direct experience of presence, a clarity of self, a flash of compassionate comprehension that dissipates the delusion of being a separate self. Screwtape. He saw not only them, he saw him. This animal, this thing begotten in a bed, could look on him. What is blinding, suffocating fire to you is now cool light to him, clarity itself, and wears the form of a man. Ramana Maharshi. Being alone shines and rejoices as awareness. So much spiritual literature is devoted to describing the bliss of being that it's tempting, read Screwtape, to discount being in the process of awakening as being. But as we have seen over the past year, on every call and in every person's participation, being shines forth as clarity, compassion, sincerity, patience, delight, generosity, love, in the joy of intelligence knowing itself. In any moment of insight, are we not awake to awareness, the angels, perfection, gifts, utter fullness, and guidance? Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's SRB. Hi.
SRB.
Hi there. I loved what Ashwini started with today, because when I printed out this week's reading, I highlighted "We never walk alone," that part. And it had really struck me, as it did again when I listened to her. First of all, you know, because there was that line, even if we don't recognize the guides, and it was impossible for me not to think, like, how fortunate we all are that we actually have, like, recognizable guides who show up like this, right, every day for us. And that really struck me. I know a lot of people who don't have this. And
of people who don't have what we have. Yes. That don't have one another, that don't have a community, that don't have a place to go where they can experience the loving kindness and goodness that they are and that life is.
Yes, yeah. And I've talked to you guys. It's been a really grief-filled time for me over the last couple of months. And one of the things also, the second thing that popped into my mind, of course, first of all, is like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful to that young person who found this practice and stuck with it. But also that just as that quote by St. Francis de Sales says, that there's also all of this invisible support. And I've been... Yeah, it's been one of the biggest gifts of these last few months is, you know, I have friends who talk about, you know, look for the angel numbers or look for the, energy workers or unexpected kindness or the Enneagram or, you know, people, there's all sorts of languages of kindness and love. And I think it's been so apparent to me that at some of the darkest moments, whether it comes from practice or somewhere else, just this beautiful love that shines through.
Yes. That's everywhere, isn't it? It's everywhere, and we're so conditioned not to. So, at least, here's a projection. We're conditioned not to see it. And then when times get really hard, we're conditioned to believe it's not there.
Oh.
Yeah. And so things that we talk about in practice all the time, that I think people in this practice and our song and probably a lot of others recognize as these kinds of gifts, trees, flowers, birds.
Yes, yes.
Cats, dogs, little people, right? That our world is actually filled with examples of, with expressions of love and beauty, but they don't count. Right? Because we're busy, right? Because in the day, we got a lot of stuff that we got to do, right? And so we don't see that. And then, again, when times get really rough, what we're told, because we didn't see all of that in the first place, now there's nothing. Now there isn't even feeling good about work or feeling good about, where we live or the people we live with or whatever it is. That's now gone, and now we have nothing. And it's not true. It's just absolutely the result of being bamboozled into ignoring life as life is.
Oh, Sherry. You know, when you were just, when you were just saying all of that, the thing that dropped in for me, because I thought what you were going to say was when things get really hard, we see it everywhere. But I think that that's because of practice for me. Like, I've been, like, hugging trees and, oh, that baby's smiling at me. That must mean love is here. Or, you know, that puppy just ran over to me. And I think, you know, hearing you say all of that, and then, you know, of course, this is, a significant moment in our year-long retreat this week. And just feeling like, oh, my goodness, practice gives us that magic everywhere.
And when times are not as difficult as the ones that you're going through right now, we want to include all of that all the time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that we never forget to experience, to take in, to be grateful for, to celebrate every single moment that there's an expression of love that we can recognize, and they're always there. That's St. Francis of Sales, right? That it's we often don't see it, but that doesn't mean it's not there. And as practitioners, we're required to look for it because we know it's there. We know it's there. And if we're not seeing it, if we're not feeling it, we need to look harder.
Yeah, and I love because it's reminding me, I mean, I know when I very, very first came to practice, you know, there's been that, you know, you come to practice when you're suffered enough, right? And yet, like what I'm hearing you say, and I, you know, and I know this is true, is it's like when we're kind of like in that, like, you know, good enough place, it's harder to see all of that magic, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, and that's why we could say if we're not living in magic, it's not good enough.
Oh, that is so perfect. Yeah,
good.
Yeah. Thank you
All
so
right.
much. What an amazing
you are so welcome.
Here. Gusho,
Gusho, go happy.
Thanks, SRB. Receptivity to grace, Sherry. That's what we're really practicing, right? Letting go all of the conditions that make us non-receptive to it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we say it all the time. Everything we're seeking is here. We're not. So that's, you know, if we had to do something about it, we'd be in big trouble. But what's required is absolutely within our ability.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Melissa from Alaska.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey. this has been an amazing retreat, and this year has just totally like blown up my mind in such a good way. And and I read something the other night in the book, What You Practice Is What You Have, that was just like one thing I realized this year was that my sub-personality really wants to take charge of my practice a lot, and does. And but what I read in that book was about the you and the I, and how one of them is usually the voice of conditioning, and the other is often the voice of personality. And and that just, oh my God, that just like, it was like a curtain lifted, like, oh God, I get that now. I get it. Mm-hmm. And a feeling of freedom. And then I feel like, you know, that the conditioning tries to make me think this is complicated, but it's not. And I love what was just said, like, no, I just have to come back to now. Like, I just love that that's the thing. The answer is simple. You know, all the figuring things out is difficult.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm following, that there was an insight that you had that arose as a result of reading the book, and it sort of helped. Well, not only did you get it that there are I voices and you voices, but they're both ego voices, you got it because there was a previous experience of, wait a second, I have a sub-personality that wants to take over the practice. So recognizing that was the first insight. And then this passage reflected for you how of that, right?
Yeah. Yes.
The how of it. And there's a, oh my gosh. And then, of course, the conditioning comes in to say that it's complicated. And the insight of the teaching then is, no, it's not. I just need to come back here and it will be revealed, a la our conversation yesterday.
Yes.
And I don't know if this is your experience, Melissa. I think the insight makes so much sense of our experience, right? Gives us
yes.
a framework for explanation.
Yes.
But it's the fact that I touch into the intelligence that is the transformation. Because in that moment, the intelligence revealed itself as the inciting, as what actually is me.
Yes. Yeah, and I feel like there's no, that intelligence, like, it's like, it never can, there's no, like, connection with the figuring it out. There's
yes,
no, like,
exactly. Yes.
There's no translation, there's no whatever you use in, like, computers, there's no, like, way, you know, it's just, yeah, you're in a different space.
Yes, it's that Rumi poem, we have two kinds of intelligence, right?
Yeah. But it does feel good to have a way to understand it.
Absolutely. In fact, it's one of those catch-22 things. I mean, all of all spiritual traditions talk about the understanding that leads to the insight and the insight that leads to the understanding. You started compassionate comprehension in the first fold because you understand that there is something beyond this world, I mean, beyond this temporality. How do you know that? Well, it's the intuition that is causing you to seek. And then you come, and it's the last step. And then you keep going in cycles of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The joy of intelligence knowing itself. But it's not knowing itself as one thing, right? It's knowing itself in so many ways all the time.
It's amazing we can talk about it.
Exactly. Right. Yes, and that we can even understand what we're pointing at when we're talking about me. Yeah.
Right. Ah, okay. Well, I think of that phrase about the finger pointing at the moon, and now I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Gesho, thank you for everything.
Thanks, Melissa.
Yep.
It's amazing that we can talk about it, making that, and only with other people who are having the same experience, right? Because it's really true that the conversation you two just had would sound lunatic to somebody who doesn't know the experience, and yet as we go along in awareness practice, it just gets it gets so clear that it's important to remember that it's not clear to everybody, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that if you can't see it, you can't see it.
It's a conversation of depth.
So say it again.
Vertical experience. It's a conversation of depth, right? It's a vertical experience.
Yeah. It's a vertical experience. Yes, in a horizontal world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina in Southern California.
Hey, Christina.
Hi, I love that phrase. It's a vertical conversation in a horizontal world.
Which is exactly what we were just talking about, right? Try that on the next person you run into.
Yeah, and I think it was yesterday morning or the morning before. I walk really early in the morning with one of my neighbors, and I live in Southern California, so we have flowers all year long. And there was someone's had their whole property lined with a heather bush, and we're walking by it, and it's very pretty, and then all of a sudden, this red rose just popped out of the center of it. I mean, it was there, but I saw it. And I turned to my neighbor and I said, that's just for us. Like, that is here just for us to see. Because, it's just there. And and that is the orientation that...
Exactly.
That I always want to inhabit. Right.
Yeah. It's an angel. And it just popped up for us. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's already beautiful without it. And then there's just this, a red rose. It's just over the top, sun's rising.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. And so... just really quickly, it was so great that this assignment starts with, the sowing of the seeds of doubt, into any commitment, any orientation that you are committed to taking in life. And I've really been practicing with that because I don't always recognize it. I don't always recognize that little subtle, this isn't exactly right, or, you don't really want to be doing this, or, And so, I'm just going to take that with me. Like, I'm watching out for that, because I want the orientation of first noticing the red rose in this long bush of heather, paying close enough attention to see it, and then really getting that it's all there,
That's it, right? Because we all know a time in our lives, or, yesterday, when we're so gone, right, so lost in one of those conversations, and Melissa pointed it out for us just a minute ago, right, with the you, when we're in a, listening to you voices tell us about ourselves and our lives and what the, and we just walk right past that rose. Maybe even the eyes glance that direction, but they're not able to register anything because there's nothing inside the mind that can receive it. And so, yes, that what you're pointing at, the magnitude of that is how we either have a life or we miss a life.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, thank you all so, so much for this beautiful year. beautiful year of practice.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
All
Thank
right.
you, Christina. Go,
Go
happy.
Happy.
Thanks, Christina. And I can't mute you, so if you would mute yourself, I'll call back in. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judy from California.
Hey, Judy.
Hi. You know, that last line, we either have a life or we miss a life, that heartfelt desire or that burning desire to have a life can easily slip into striving for me. And then there's some efforting. And it was so beautiful in reading the assignment that the line from the Xinchen Ming stood out to me about the unified mind, you know, all self-centered striving ceases. So the guidance is there. So it just seems like, see, even when I talk about practicing more, there's a striving comes in. So that's the razor's edge that I'm working with at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that which you're seeking is causing you to seek. It shall seek you rather than you seek it.
Right.
And it is a paradox, right, Judy, because it's like we have to practice as if our hair is on fire, and that's the double bind also that we have to get past. And I think that's the shift that you're pointing us to, and the Sinsen Min is pointing us to, that it's a koan. So you do practice. You do practice. You do feel filled with that burning desire for yourself, right? And that's what motivates us to stay here and do the practice and do the work and be in the process of transformation, realizing that we are being transformed. And then you tumble into it, tumble into the relaxation, because as you said, it's a razor's edge. I can see the striving, and I can see how the striving keeps me from finding and having, and then you see what happens now.
Right.
Okay? Oh, the insight is what transforms.
Yes, and that image of tumbling into it is enormously helpful to me, because just looking at that image is relaxing. You know, I can't make myself fall. I have to just kind of relax my body and tumble.
Which is the double bind. It's the answer is in the koan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Always. And
yeah.
So we do what we do to be here and prepare ourselves, and then at some point we get, within quotes, that the revelation happens. Right?
Yeah. And also to be all right with the efforting, you know, to love that part, not love that part, but to just be all right with that and know that's part of the process of transformation. Maybe that's a way to look at it.
Well, I love what you said, because that is true. We love that sincerity, right?
Mm-hmm.
The sincerity is what we love and appreciate and support and encourage. What we don't have to hold on to is the belief in the I that can do it. That's what gets worn away, not the love of the sincerity.
Oh, that's it exactly. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the I that gets worn away. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much for all this, all of you, everyone. It's great.
Thanks, Judy.
Go happy.
Go happy. And here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Oh, goodness. This is Lauren from California. Hello?
Hey, Lauren.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I had something happen to me the other day. I decided I like George Harrison, so I downloaded all his what I would call devotional songs.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And I have a housemate. She just watches me. We do yoga, but she just watches me practice in the practice.
Uh-huh.
And so we're listening to the song, and there's just like three lines. All I got to do is love you. All I got to be is be happy. All it's going to take is some warmth. And she goes, gosh, he really got it, didn't he? And I was just so touched that she would notice that.
Uh-huh.
Well, yes. And what to me, what it speaks to, and then we'll see if we're in agreement about this, we recognize what we all are.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, a lot of people would not have thought of George Harrison as the source of that level of wisdom. And yet, there it was, right? There he was, and able to articulate it in a way that everybody who is, I would say, who is doing any kind of spiritual practice or has any kind of, we could even say, religious orientation, would recognize what he's saying, the truth
yes.
of it.
And relax yeah. into the simplicity of it.
Yes, yes.
It was so yeah. great to find it. And I don't like to call much because I talk a lot, but I'm really going to miss this whole thing. And I'm going to sign up for whatever I can, but I just want to say thank you to everybody and to you guys.
Well, thank you, Lauren. And, yeah, it's fine that you talk a lot. I personally appreciate it. So
uh-huh.
don't hold back, okay?
Oh, I don't hold back. Sometimes when I stumble upon a really good thing out of the blue, I do call and share like this.
Okay. All right. Very good. So
all
you're
right.
not going to be a stranger.
Oh,
all
no.
right.
All right. I love
okay,
you.
Okay, good.
All right.
right.
Bye.
Take care, Lauren.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye. Go happy.
Go happy.
Like George says.
All
right.
All we have
I'm
to
muted.
Be is happy.
Yep. Got it.
Thanks, Lauren. Well, angels are everywhere in all forms, Sherry. And we have time for another caller. So here we go.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. It's Marianne.
Hey, Marianne.
I had to call in because I see angels everywhere. And it's kind of... there's a part of me that goes, yeah, but they're not those kind of Christian angels. They're kind of more just like dots of light that are part of the Indra's net where everything is reflecting every light, light from everywhere. So it's there's a part of me that just wants to go, yes, I see those angels, and you know what? I'm one of them too.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, and it becomes sort of irrelevant whether they are like cherubs or anything else, right? If I'm
yeah.
living in a universe where the dots of light are angels around me, then really who cares what they look like?
Yeah, well,
my version is that it's a whole particles of intelligence, right? It's vibrating with wisdom all around. You just turn around and ask a question and you get an answer because that's the experience.
Yeah, and it just is reinforces trusting life.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. It does, doesn't it? Say a little bit more about that.
Well, just that you know, it took a long time for me to get wow, there is nothing wrong. And just trust life to unfold. And then it unfolds in beautiful ways that you could never imagine. And the more you trust life, the more it unfolds. And the more dots of light you see everywhere until you know, your eyes are just blinking and twinkling because it's just dots of light and love, and it's just, we are all just vibrating with it.
Mm. Yeah, I, and that's it, right? It's sort of what
St. Francis de Sales pointing at, which is that place of the experience of being isolated, separate selves, which is the orientation of that ego place, is the false place. The reality is that there's just angels everywhere around you. And when we move into that orientation of being able to see from that perspective, what we experience is the trust in the unfolding. Because it's not separate, and it's all the love and the light. And so there is nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And that infuses our orientation to how we are. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and it's, and when you have your skin rubbed off and your hair falls out and you might lose your eyes, that's when then you can really see that kind of, I've said it. I can't say anymore. I just resonate with that image of their angels here among us, helping, caring, sharing light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and I love that reminder or reinforcing that the process we're in is being loved into being the love that we are. So there is an attrition of what stands between me and my ability to see light, and that is the process of being worn away.
And really, why I wanted to call in was just to say thank you. Thank you, mm-hmm. and thank you to you and Sherry and Jen and all the Sangha who make this the most beautiful practice in the world.
Well, thank you, Marianne.
Yes, and I look forward to more.
Yes, yes, we certainly do, don't we? Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
It was just a small part of that conversation, but I just really appreciated that reminder that the ego world is a false sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like what we're trying to do is get out of something that is real in order to see something that's more real. But just the reminder that the world that the ego voices present for us is false. It's not true. And so, all right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.